الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're discussing some benefits with regards to the names and the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha. And we have seen that this chapter has a number of names and likewise many different virtues. And from that is that it is the greatest chapter in the Book of Allah, and that all of the meanings of the Quran, they return back to the Fatiha. All of the details mentioned in the Book of Allah, they're summarized and clarified in brief detail in Surah Al-Fatiha. And we have also seen that some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that all of those meanings are even summarized in one verse in Surah Al-Fatiha, and that is the verse إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone, O Allah, do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. And the religion is summarized in this statement here. And we have seen that the Fatiha is a means of curing all diseases and ailments by the permission of Allah, beginning with the diseases and the ailments of the heart, particularly the shubuhat and the shahawat, the misconceptions and misunderstandings in creed and in methodology, and the innovations that are introduced into the religion, and likewise the impermissible lusts and desires. The Fatiha is a cure for all of these affairs by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the one who has sincere faith, and likewise he has the light of knowledge, and he knows how to properly use the Fatiha to cure himself, to reflect upon those meanings and to ponder on them and to reflect upon his life and the affairs that he's facing. And bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, he will find guidance and light, and he will find a cure for those diseases by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise a cure for the diseases of the body and the ailments of the body as well. A means of curing a person, a means of curing oneself, and likewise to cure others by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recite the Fatiha on oneself in times of pain or ailment, or in times of sickness, or to recite Al-Fatiha on someone else in times of pain or ailment or sickness, with the intention of seeking the cure and the treatment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with intention of making treatment and seeking the cure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality, these are wonderful benefits and great light for a believer who understands these affairs and benefits from them in his life. After this, the author, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Barakatan wastiana, Barakatan wastiana. And now the author, he moves into the actual interpretation of these verses, verse by verse, in a brief and summarized manner. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, he says, yani in the statement of Allah the Most High, in the name of Allah the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. The author, he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala barakatan wastiana, barakatan wastiana, yani that this statement is made with the intention of seeking blessing, with the intention of seeking blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise seeking his help. And likewise, seeking his help. So a person, even outside of the Fatiha, anytime he is going to embark upon an affair, he will remember the name of Allah. And if he is going to perform an action from his daily deeds, then he will do that upon the name of Allah, remembering the name of Allah. And he will say, Bismillah. And this is legislated before eating and before drinking and before doing all of the good deeds, to say the name of Allah, entering the home and leaving the home, entering the masjid and leaving the masjid, so on and so forth, to remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people of knowledge have clarified what the author, he's mentioning here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that this is a statement that has meaning, and in reality it's a type of supplication and seeking blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, by beginning with his name and seeking the help and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal by mentioning his name, by mentioning his name. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned likewise another benefit, and that is at tawassul. So one could say, Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim, Barakatan Wistianatan wa Tawassula. Wa Tawassula, and he trying seeking to draw near to Allah, seeking the blessing of Allah, seeking the aid and the help of Allah, and also seeking a means of nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal by mentioning his name and by beginning the action with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is understood from the language, from the Arabic language. The ba here is harfu al-jar, and it has meanings. It has meanings, more than one meaning. From the meaning of this ba here, bismillah, the people of knowledge, they mention aristiana, ba aristiana. You would say, for example, kitabtu bil-qalami, I wrote with a pen, yani bistianat al-qalam. Yani bistianat al-qalam. So the meaning of the ba here just has to seek aid and to seek assistance. I'm writing by way of the pen, yani with the aid of a pen. So linguistically, this is the understanding. So they have derived that ruling here from understanding the Arabic language. So when one he says bismillah, yani meaning istianat, and like the author he's saying, seeking the help of Allah. This is understood from the ba. And what is being referred to is whatever circumstance, the situation, the person he may be in. If he's going to eat, then he says Bismillah, yani Bismillahi akul. If he's going to drink, then he says Bismillah, yani Bismillah ashrab. If he's going to do this or to do that, whatever that issue may be, he says Bismillah, with the intention to do that. Any meaning in the name of Allah, seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jal by mentioning his name. And then likewise, the fact that the thing that one is performing or doing in the name of Allah is not mentioned, this is to be inclusive for the whole life of a believer and to include every circumstance and situation. And likewise, to seek blessing by not mentioning that thing directly, but by rather mentioning the name of Allah first. So by beginning with the name of Allah before even the action, this is a means of seeking the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have seen that meaning and the previous supplication in dua al-istiftah, wa tabaraka smuka, yani tunalu barakatu bi dhikri smika, yani that the blessing is obtained by mentioning the name of Allah. The blessing, all blessing is obtained by mentioning the name of Allah. So a person, whenever he is performing an action, he does it in the name of Allah. And therefore mentioning the name of Allah and seeking his blessing, along with seeking his help. So the fact that that affair is not mentioned, or it's implied and understood in the end of the sentence, Bismillahi akul, in the name of Allah I eat, yani in the name of Allah, beginning with the name of Allah first, this is seeking the blessing by beginning in the name of Allah. Seeking the blessing of Allah by beginning in the name of Allah. The ba itself, it contains the meaning of seeking help. So from here, the people of Nadas, they have derived these two benefits that the author he's mentioning, رحمه الله تعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بركة واستعانة يعني أتبرك وأستعين بذكر اسم الله سبحانه وتعالى أو بالبدء بسم الله سبحانه وتعالى by beginning with the name of Allah عز وجل. So this is the issue of beginning with the name of Allah in general. And outside of the salah, then one he will suffice with at-tasmiyah. And this is what the examples that have preceded were based upon, what is called at-tasmiyah. Some of the people of knowledge, they have made a difference between this affair. Yani they have differentiated between at-tasmiyah wal-basmala. And at-tasmiyah is to say alone bismillah. And this is what one will say whenever he's eating or whenever he's drinking, or whenever he is going to ride in a vehicle or enter the masjid and so on and so forth, he will suffice with that, Bismillah. And in the supplication for entering the masjid has an addition like that, وَصَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, until the end of the supplication. But here the statement, Bismillah, like this alone, this is called a tasmiyah. And this is also derived from the hadith of Umar bin Salama, radiallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him eating and he's taking his hand here and there and taking from the food in different places from the dish. And he said, Ya ghulam, sammillah. Young boy, sammillah. Yani make the tasmiyah. Yani qul bismillah. Qul bismillah. And this is what has been narrated likewise from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he was eating, he was sufficed with this statement here, Bismillah. Bismillah. So therefore, this is the sunnah, and Allah knows best with regards to that. So one, he will not say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in these places here. Rather, he will make the tasmiyah As to say the whole affair, this is called al-basmala. To say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then this one is al-basmala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this is al-basmala. This is called al-basmala. To say in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. So some of the people of knowledge, as I mentioned before, they have distinguished between these two issues. Between these two issues. And they mentioned that the tasmiyah is before eating and drinking and all of the normal affairs that a person is doing throughout his day. As for the basmala, then this is before, this is what has come before every chapter in the book of Allah, except for chapter Bara'ah. And likewise, this is what is mentioned upon writing treaties and the likes like this, which also has been established in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he would begin the letters that were written to the kings and the authorities in the different lands with the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. So they separated between the places where these are used, and Allah knows best. Here in Surah Al-Fatiha is the Basmala. Is the Basmala. You need the whole statement. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. So what is intended here? That one, he will say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, aqra'u, aw atlu kitab Allah. That in the name of Allah, or with the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, I begin the recitation, or I am reciting. I mean, this is the meaning. This is the meaning. But again, what that means is that a person at that moment, whenever he's saying that with his tongue, his heart is seeking for the blessing of Allah. And his heart is seeking for the help and the aid of Allah. And his heart is hoping to draw near to Allah and to have support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is not a mere statement, as we have seen before. And as the author, he has emphasized in a number of works, that these words, they have meanings. In reality, they have great meanings. They have great meanings. And the person who accustoms his tongue to saying these terms, along with realizing and knowing the proper meaning and remembering that meaning at the time of that statement, he will benefit greatly throughout his day. He will benefit greatly throughout his day. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This verse here is called Al-Basmala. It's called Al-Basmala. And the people of knowledge, they differed whether Al-Basmala is an ayah from the Quran or not, whether it's an ayah before every chapter, or whether it's an ayah from every chapter, or an ayah before every chapter, or whether it's an ayah from the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. There's a difference of opinion about this affair. There's no difference that Surah Al-Fatiha is seven verses, and that has preceded any of that which Allah, he mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr, clarifying that Surah Al-Fatiha is seven verses. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنِ العظيم, that indeed we have given you, we have bestowed upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seven oft-repeated verses and the great Qur'an. And we have seen a number of narrations in our previous class that those seven oft-repeated verses and the great Qur'an, what is intended by that is Surah Al-Fatiha. What is intended by that is Surah Al-Fatiha. So no doubt, the Surah Al-Fatiha is seven verses. But the order in numbering them, the people of knowledge, they have differed with regards to that. And that is based upon the issue of whether al-basmala ayatun min al-fatiha am la. Whether the basmala is a verse from the fatiha or not. And it has been collected by Abu Dawood, and likewise by al-Hakim fi mustadrakihi. By Abu Dawood fi sunanihi wa al-Hakim fi mustadrakihi, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, that he said أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يعرف فصل السورة كان لا يعرف فصل السورة حتى ينزل عليه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he did not used to know the break, yani the end of the chapter, until it would be revealed to him بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So from here, a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned that the basmala is ayatun mustaqillah. It is a single verse, a singled out verse, a verse in itself that is placed before every chapter in the book of Allah. that is placed before every chapter in the book of Allah except for Bara'ah. So therefore, the Basmala is repeated according to the number of chapters in the Quran. It's repeated in this manner, except for Surah Bara'ah. It's not before this particular chapter. But every other chapter, it's repeated, and it's a verse by itself. Allah knows best. And likewise, the people of knowledge, they have agreed that it is a portion of a verse in Surah An-Naml. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about the letter, the treaties of Sulaiman to the queen of Saba, the Malika Saba, that He wrote, إِنَّهُ مِنْ Sulaiman, وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, that indeed it is from Sulaiman, and he had this letter, and indeed it is written in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. So this is actually a portion of the verse in Surah An-Naml. But other than that, the Basmala that is coming before every chapter in the book of Allah, except for Bara'ah, this is a verse by itself and set alone. And it was revealed in order to clarify and to distinguish between the chapters, and to notify the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the particular chapter before had come to an end, and another chapter is beginning in this manner, and Allah knows best. So therefore, it's not a verse from the verses of Al-Fatiha. So therefore, the first verse will be Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And that which indicates this likewise is the hadith that had preceded in the previous classes, from which is collected by Al-Imam Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the hadith Qudsi, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Allah, he says, قَسَّمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ الْحَدِيثِ, I have divided the salah between me and my slave into two parts. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ الْحَدِيثِ, and my slave will have what he has asked for until the end of the narration. So after this, Allah, he says, فَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, whenever my slave says الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So in this narration, Allah, he began with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, not with the Basmala. And he mentioned the virtue of that and in that order. So this is from the evidences of that. Although the people of knowledge, they have differed and Allah knows best. Some of the people of knowledge likewise have mentioned an evidence from the aqil, from the aspect of the intelligence, and that is the fact that the people of knowledge differed with regards to this particular verse. Is it from the Fatiha or not? So the Quran is preserved. Inna anzalna ilayka adhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. So the Quran is preserved with the preservation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the fact that they're differing about that is indication that it's not from it. And Allah knows best. In any case, the people of knowledge from the beginning, from the Qurra, those famous reciters who had transmitted from that the chains of transmission of the Quran go back to, and the likes, they differed about this affair with regards to the numbering. Is the Basmala from the Fatiha, or is it a singled out verse alone before every chapter? Allah knows best. It is not from the Fatiha, and it is a singled out verse alone from every chapter. So the Basmala, it should be recited in the Salah. It should be recited in the Salah, even those who do not consider it to be a verse from the Salah, they recommend that it should still be recited. But it should be recited silently. And if one were to recite it audibly, then it's allowed and permissible. But it's better and more virtuous, Allah knows best, to recite it silently. Or at least to recite it silently the majority of the time, and only sometimes to recite it audibly. And in order to clarify the permissibility of that, and that was from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because it has been narrated from a number of companions, from them Anas, and likewise Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhuma, this affair. One of them affirmed the recitation audibly, and the other one negated it. So this is an indication the people of knowledge have mentioned that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would recite it, but the majority of the time he did not recite it. And this is based upon what is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Anas radiyallahu anhu, that he said, صَلَيْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ فَلَمْ أَسْمَعْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَقْرَأْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Anas radiyallahu anhu, who is Abu Hamza, his kunya is Abu Hamza, Anas ibn Malik, Khadim Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the servant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He served the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his 10 years in Medina. As soon as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina, Sulaim, the mother of Anas radiallahu anhuma, she brought Anas to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ha hada Anas khadimuk. This is Anas. This is my son Anas. He's going to be your servant. Whenever he was a young child, radiallahu anhu. And he served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was a resident and while he was traveling. And even he was known to enter into his home and be around him and his family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially before the time whenever the hijab was made obligatory. So Anas radiallahu anhu, he had close contact with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying in this narration, I prayed with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I prayed with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhum, and I never heard any of them reciting, and I never heard any of them reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and I never heard any of them reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So meaning that he would hear them whenever he prayed with them radiallahu anhum, he would hear them beginning with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He would hear them beginning with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So this is what is mentioned here. But also it has been mentioned, as has proceeded from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu as well, which is authentic, and he would recite it. He recited it audibly, beginning with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And after he finished, he said to his companions that I'm the one who most resembles the prayer of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from amongst you. And so he's affirming that affair. So it is derived from the likes of these narrations and other narrations as well, and other evidences as well, that which the people of not, as they mentioned, and Allah knows best, that the majority of the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not recite the basmala audibly, and sometimes he did. So if a person here were to do that, then the prayer would be correct. Or if he prayed behind somebody who did that, then his prayer would be correct. And if he prayed behind someone who did not recite it audibly, then the prayer likewise is correct. And in the majority of the people of knowledge, they have the opinion that it should not be recited audibly. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he has the opinion that it should be recited audibly. So if a person is praying behind someone who's reciting it, then he should know that it's proper and allowed, and also established in the sunnah. Alhamdulillah. But it's better and more preferred to only do that sometimes, and the majority of the time to recite it silently. So the fact that he's saying here, radiallahu anhu, لم أسمع أحدا منهم, I never heard any of them reciting the Fatiha, reciting the Basmala, and the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, the people of Nara has mentioned, this doesn't negate the fact that they recited it, and the fact that he did not hear. So Allah knows best, they would recite it. Allah knows best, they would recite it, but they would not recite it out loud. They would recite it, but they would not recite it out loud. So one, he will recite it, but he will not recite it out loud. So in this verse here, the Basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, is the mention of three of the beautiful names. From the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are Allah and Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. As for the last two, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they're repeated in this chapter. And they will come again, and the author, he will comment on the meanings there. So we discuss some of the details with regards to those two beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the attribute of mercy, and whatever the author, he touches on them in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. As for here, beginning with the name of Allah, Bismillah. So the name Allah This is, Allah knows best, as many of the people of knowledge they have mentioned, Ismullahi al-Azam. This is the greatest name of Allah. The greatest name of Allah, because all of the attributes and all of the names and attributes, they return back to this name and our description for this name. And the term Allah, the people of knowledge, they mention Alamun ala al-Rabbi tabaraka wa ta'ala, that this is the proper name of the Lord. Of the Lord, any the creator of the heavens and the earth, the provider and the sustainer of all of this universe, the one who has given everything its shape and its form, and the one who has the command in his hand, and the one whom nothing happens except according to his supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom, his name is Allah. The one who created the heavens and the earth and is providing for them and sustaining them, his name is Allah. The one who created the human being and the womb of a woman in the manner that is well known, from the fluid that is well known, his name is Allah. His name is Allah. And this is a great blessing, wallah, to know this name. Especially if you have lived a portion of your life and you never knew that name. So to know this name, the name Allah, and then to know Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His names and attributes, and to know Him by His legislation and His deen, and to know Him by His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a great favor. Many people on the streets outside these doors, they do not know this name. Some of them, maybe they never heard it in their life. Some of them, they maybe never heard it in their life. I know myself, I lived for more than 20 some odd years, I never heard the name Allah. More than 20 some odd years of my life, I never heard the name Allah, or never heard the term Quran, or never heard the name Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were terms that were foreign to me entirely for almost up to half of my life. And then after that, Allah, he shows mercy and guides. So the point is to know Allah Azza wa Jal, to know this name. And some of us take it for granted. Some of us think that it's simple. Some of us think that it's nothing. Right, that this is something major. To know the name of Allah. And to call on Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know what that name means. It has been collected by Tabari in his tafsir, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. He died in the year 310. He has one of the greatest tafsir that is available today, and that we have today, that has reached us from the greatest of the tafsir. Almost, it's well over 30 volumes, in the book form that we have today, and he's from the first of those who collected the tafsir wa fassara al-Quran. بالقرآن وبالمأثور عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن الصحابة والتابعين. From the first of those to traverse the proper methodology and explaining the book of Allah by explaining the Quran by the Quran, and likewise by explaining the Quran by narrations, of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the صحابة and the تابعين رضي الله عنهم. So he will mention in his book chains of narration to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم interpreting verses. Or chains of narration to the Sahaba or the Tabi'een and the likes like this, interpreting verses. And it's a great reference for the collection of narrations. And also to identify the authenticity of that, because he narrates with his chain. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And from that is a narration that he has on Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah. Radiyallahu anhumah, that he mentioned the name Allah, the meaning of this term is Dhul Uluhiyyah. ذُو الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And this word here, Allah, what does it mean? ذُو الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. ذُو يعني صاحب. صاحب الألوهية. وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. He is the Allah, he is the one who possesses the divinity and the right of servitude and worship and surrender and humbleness over the entire creation. ذُو الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one, this term here, it gathers two attributes. The attribute of uluhiyya and the attribute of ubudiyya, and they're very similar. One requires the other. And in uluhiyya, what is referred to here, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He alone is the one who has all of the attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever, thus requiring that he should be worshipped alone with no partners. That he should be worshipped alone with no partners. So uluhiyah sometimes could be interpreted to mean divinity. Al-uluhiyah is divinity. But what is the one who is divine? Allah, he is divine. He is the divine God. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Divinity belongs to him. But what does that mean? Means that he has the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever, requiring him to be worshipped alone with no partners in right. In right, in everything that does not have the attributes that he has of perfection, then they do not deserve to be worshipped, and they are worshipped in falsehood. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he is dhul uluhiyyah. وَالْعُبُودِيَّ عَلَى خَلْقِيَ عَزْمَائِينَ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, he has the uluhiyyah and the ubudiyyah, the divinity and the servitude and humbleness and surrender over the entire creation. Some of the, in the chain here that Ibn Jarir he mentioned, there is some slight weakness in it, but Allah knows best the meaning here, and it's a slight weakness in its ascription to Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma. But Allah knows best a number of the people of knowledge, they have referred yani to this narration, and they have mentioned this affair as an evidence. If we look in the tafsir of As-Sa'di rahimahullahu ta'ala, we find that his interpretation of this word, of this term, this noble term, Allah, is as if he's explaining the understanding of Ibn Abbas. As-Sa'di, he mentioned rahimahullah in his tafsir, he says, هو المألو المعبود هو المألو المعبود المستحق لإفراده بالعبادة. That Allah, what does this name mean? Allah. Somebody asks you, what is that? You worship Allah. Who is Allah? So what do you say? هو الما هو المألو المعبود المستحق لإفراده بالعبادة. The المستحق لإفراده بالعبادة. That Allah, he is al-ma'lu, al-ma'bud. He is the one who possesses divinity, and he is the one who is worthy of worship and truth. And he deserves for all aspects of worship to be directed to him entirely, to be solely and directed to him, or to be singled out with all actions of worship. Al-ma'lu, al-ma'bud. They are synonyms, and they have similar meanings. And he referring to dhul-uluhiyya wal-ubudiyya. He is al-ma'lu, yani dhul-uluhiyya, wal-ma'bud, yani dhul-ubudiyya. And what does that mean? Al-mustahiq li-ifradihi bil-ibadah. The one who has the right to be singled out alone with all actions of worship. Then he says, rahimahullah, lima tasafa bihi min sifati al-uluhiyya wa hiya sifatul kamal. And this is because of that which Allah is described with from the attributes of divinity. And they are the attributes of perfection. So the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, dhul-uluhiyya wal-ubudiyya, ala khalqi ajma'in, he is the one who possesses all of the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever. Therefore, he is the only one who has the right to be worshipped alone. And he is the only one who was worshipped in truth. And he is the only one who was worshipped in truth. So some could summarize, and they could say, Allah huwa al-ilahu al-haq. Al-ilah al-haq. Al-ma'bud bi-haq. He is the true God. Allah, he is the true God who is worshipped in truth. Al-ilahu al-haq al-mustahiqu lil-ibadah. He is the true God. The true God who is worshipped in truth, the one who deserves to be worshipped. And everything besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is falsehood and not worthy of worship. Likewise, Shaykh Abdul Razzaq al-Badr, Shaykhuna, Shaykh Abdul Razzaq al-Badr, hafidhullah, he mentioned in his work, Fiqh al-Asma al-Husna, the fiqh, understanding of the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentioned in the beginning of that, discussing those names, the name Allah. And he mentioned the narration of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum. And then he says, أي الذي له أوصاف الجلال والكمال والعظمة التي استحق لأجلها أن يؤلها وأن يخص وحده بالذل والخضوع والانكسار بالذل والخضوع والانكسار. Meaning that Allah, he is the one who has the attributes of majesty and perfection and greatness. That by way of them, or that because of them, he deserves that he should be deified and singled out alone with all actions of submission and humbleness and surrender. And surrender with dhul. With khudu, dhul is any humility and humbleness. And khudu likewise is humbleness and surrender and submission. What inkisar? Al-inkisar literally means to break down. And he meaning to humble oneself and to bow down and to surrender to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere faith. So this is, and he's summarizing the meaning of ibadah. So therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal, this term here, Allah, He is the one who possesses the attributes of divinity, meaning He is the one who has the attributes of perfection, all of the attributes of majesty and glory and power and authority, and all of the attributes of perfection, they belong to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with no deficiency whatsoever. Thus, requiring and necessitating by way of them too, that He should be worshipped alone with no partners, and that all actions of worship and servitude and humbleness should be devoted to Him alone and no one else. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of the great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. Allah. So this term, it has this meaning here, the meaning of divinity, believing that Allah, He is the one who has the attributes of perfection. He has a life that is perfect, a knowledge that is perfect, wisdom that is perfect, power and authority that is perfect. He never dies. He never gets sleepy. He's never tired. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. ولا نوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. يجير ولا يجار عليه. He's the one who protects and no one can protect against him. يطعم ولا يطعم. He feeds and he's not fed. He doesn't need anything. ذو القوة المتين. He's the one who has the supreme authority and power, and he's strong. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his might is encompassing. His might, and his might cannot be overcome. And meaning that he is the most mighty and powerful and strong, and no one can overcome him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He mentioned in His book about Himself, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa lahul asma'ul husna. Lahul asma'ul husna. That Allah, there is no true God worthy of worship except for Him. And to Him belong all of the most beautiful names. To Him belong all of the most beautiful names. So all of the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they refer back to this name. So when He will say that the name Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah, He will not say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. He will not say Allah is the name of Ar-Rahman. He will not say Allah is the name of Ar-Rahim. Rather, it's the other way. The asl, the origin, is the name Allah. And all of the other names, they return back to this name. And their descriptions for this name. Allahu la ilaha illahu lahu al-asma'ul husna. Allah, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. To Him belong all of the most beautiful names. So all of the most beautiful names, they go back and refer to this name. They go back and refer to this name. You say that Allah, He is Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman is from the names of Allah. Ar-Rahim is from the names of Allah. As-Sami' al-Alim, Al-Qawi al-Aziz. These are from the names of Allah. Al-Muta'al, Subhanahu, these are from the names of Allah. These are from the Shadeed al-Iqab. These are from the attributes of Allah. These are from the attributes of Allah. Shadeed al-Mihal, these are the attributes of Allah. So these attributes, they go back describing Allah. Allah, the name, this name here is the Aslam, is the origin with regards to these affairs. From that, likewise, is what is found in Surah Al-Hashr. And Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. These are from the most beautiful verses with regards to At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi. With regards to At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that He is Allah, there is nothing worthy of worship except for Him, عالم الغيب والشهادة, the all-knower of the unseen and the seen. Huwa Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most gracious, the most merciful. Allah, He says, Huwa Allah, Alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-maliku al-quddus al-salamu al-mu'min al-muhaymanu al-azizu al-jabbaru al-mutakabbir. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. That He is Allah. Huwa Allah. This is the point here. All of these names, they're referring back to the name Allah. Huwa Allah. The one who, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. All of these attributes, all of these names, they refer back as descriptions and names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Malik, Al-Qudus, As-Salam. Al-Malik, yani the King. Al-Qudus, the Holy. As-Salam, the one who is free of all deficiencies. The one who is free of all defects and deficiencies. Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz. Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mu'min, the giver of security. Al-Muhaymin, the one who is the watcher over all of His creation. Al-Aziz is the Almighty. Al-Jabbar, the one who is the compeller. Al-Mutakabbir, the Supreme. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Glorified is Allah above all that they associate as partners with Him. And then Allah says, Huwallah, He is Allah. He is Allah, Al-Khaliq. Al-Khaliq al-Bari al-Musawwir. Lahu al-Asma'u al-Husna. Yusabbihu lahu ma fi samawati wal-Ardi wa huwa al-Aziz wal-Hakim. That He is Allah, the Creator, the Inventor of all things, the Bestower of forms, meaning the one who gives everything its shape and its form. To Him belongs all of the most beautiful names, and everything in the heavens and the earth, they glorify Him, and He is the Almighty and the All-Wise. So these are all names that refer back to this name Allah. That refer back to this name Allah. It's been collected by Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'in isma'a, mi'atan illa wahidan, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. That indeed Allah, He has 99 names, 100 minus 1, 100 minus 1. Man ahsaha dakhala jannah, whoever memorizes them, understands them, and implements them in their life, then they will enter paradise. Then they will enter paradise. In one wording likewise, in Sahih Bukhari, وَهُوَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ وَهُوَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرُ. And Allah is witr, and He loves the witr. The witr literally means odd, and meaning that because Allah is one, He's one, and one is witr, and there's nothing resembling Him, and there's nothing comparable to Him, and there's nothing along with Him or like Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is witr, يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرُ. And also in one wording by Imam Muslim, من حفظها يعني من أحصاها دخل الجنة يعني من حفظها دخل الجنة. The people of knowledge, they mention يعني من حفظها يعني من فهم معانيها وعمل بمقتضاها دخل الجنة. The one who understands the meanings of these names, the one who understands the meanings of these names and learns them, and he implements them in a manner that's required, and he applies them in a manner that they require and necessitate, then he went to paradise. Then he went to paradise. This is something that is indicated in this wording here likewise. وَهُوَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرِ. So Allah, He's witr, and He loves the witr, and meaning the witr prayer. You know, يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرِ. So if you know that Allah, from His attributes likewise, is that He loves, and that Allah, He is Himself witr, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He loves the witr. So now you should try to draw near to Him by that which He loves, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and establish the witr in your life. Establish the prayer of the witr in your life, because Allah, He loves that, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who learns about these affairs now, he will learn about these names and these attributes, and then he will implement them in his life. From that, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, he said, Alam ya'lam anna Allaha yara? Alam ya'lam anna Allaha yara? Does he not know that Allah sees? And do you not know that Allah sees? Do we not know that Allah sees? Allah, He sees us right now. And whenever we leave and get in our car, Allah, He sees us at that moment too. And whenever we're with our brothers in our gatherings, Allah, He sees us then. And whenever we're alone in our homes with the lights off, Allah, He sees us then. And whenever we're in the markets or whatever we're mixing with the disbelievers, Allah, He sees us then. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah can see? Yani that Allah can see him wherever he may be. Allah, He says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And fear Allah. And fear the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal by believing in Him. By believing in Him and by complying to His commandments and avoiding and staying away from His prohibitions. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Because indeed Allah, He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. Meaning Allah, fear Allah, Allah can hear you. Fear Allah, Allah can hear you. Fear Allah, Allah, He knows where you're at and what you're doing. Allah, He knows where you're at and what you're doing. Rather, He knows what you're thinking and your intentions. Allah, He says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوا. فَاحْذَرُوا, that you must know that Allah, He knows what is in your own soul. So therefore, beware of Him. So therefore, beware of Him. Fear Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is to learn about these names and attributes and then to implement them in one's life. Allah, He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. Allah, He can hear me and see me. I better check my manners and my conduct. I better check my manners and my conduct and my speech and my actions. So therefore, it will have an effect in my life. And a person, it will enter into his heart and humble him. And then he will bow down, yani, to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to the legislation and the law of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is intended. Man ahsaha. So whoever learns these names and the meanings of these names and understands them properly, and then he works upon what they require, what that knowledge requires and necessitates, he's the one who will enter paradise. As for somebody who memorized them and learned them, even if he memorized them one after the other precisely and perfectly, but he did not implement that in his life, it will not benefit him. It will not benefit him. And this is similar to what has proceeded from the hadith in Sahih Muslim of Abi Malik al-Ashja'i radiallahu anhu, al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. So this knowledge, whether it's the knowledge of the Qur'an or the Sunnah, it's a proof for you or against you. And if you know that knowledge and you implement it to the best of your ability, it'll be a proof for you. And if not, if you do not implement it properly, then it'll be a proof against you. It'll be a proof against you. So this is some of the benefits with regards to this term here, Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Lord of the world. He is our creator and provider and sustainer. He is the one who is giving everything its shape and its form. And He is the one whom we're all returning to. And He's going to ask us about our deeds. So here we begin like this, Bismillah, with the name of Allah. So all these names, these beautiful names, they refer back to this name. All these beautiful attributes of perfection, they return back to this name. So here some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned Bismillah. Bismillah. So the ba and the ism, this is harf jar, ism majrur. Then the ism majrur is mudaf, and the term ismul jalala mudaf ilay. And the people of knowledge, they say al mufrad al mudaf yufidu al umum, that the word that's singular and the singular form, whenever it's placed in the idafa, if it's mudaf, then it indicates a general understanding, meaning plural. So for example, when ta'uddu ni'mat Allahi la tuhsuha, and if you were to count the ni'mat Allah la tuhsuha, you can never enumerate them. So it's not understood one, if you know the blessing, the blessings of Allah. So this is a benefit from understanding the Arabic language, and also this is a benefit the people of usul al-fiqh, they mention often. And if that the mufrad, if it's mudaf, it has a general meaning. The general meaning, sometimes you'll find, for example, a title of a chapter, Fadlu al-Qur'an. Fadlu al-Qur'an. What is intended? Fawail. And that's derived from this understanding here, that this is mufrad mudaf, yufidul umum. So any of the virtues of the Qur'an. You want to say the virtue of the Qur'an, but what is understood from that is the plural, is the plural. So from here, some of the people of knowledge, they said, whenever a person, he says, Bismillah. It's as if he's saying, I'm beginning with every name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm seeking aid and help in beginning and seeking His blessing. Not with just the name Allah, but rather with every name, with all of the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I begin my action. It's understood from here. Because all of those names, they refer back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although a person, by learning those names, he will be able to implement them in his life, as Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَ فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. And all of the most beautiful names that belong to Allah, so call on Him by way of them. So the one who's in a particular need, he will call on that specific name for that need. The one who is in need of help and aid, he will call on Allah by the name that's suitable. Or the one who's in need of mercy or forgiveness, he'll call on Allah by the name that is suitable. And this is from the greatest means to draw near to Allah and to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to guide our hearts to a straight path. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.